Good morning. Let's turn to Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the faith of those chosen of God and the knowledge of the truth which is according to godliness, in the hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised long ages ago, but at the proper time manifested even his word in the proclamation with which I was entrusted according to the commandment of God our Savior. To Titus, my true child in a common faith, grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Savior. For this reason I left you in Crete, that you might set in order what remains and appoint elders in every city as I directed you. Namely, if any man be above reproach, the husband of one wife, having children who believe, not accused of dissipation or rebellion. For the overseer must be above reproach as God's steward, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not addicted to wine, not pugnacious, not fond of sordid gain, but hospitable, loving what is good, sensible, just, devout, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word, which is in accordance with the teaching, that he may be able both to exhort in sound doctrine and to refute those who contradict. For there are many rebellious men, empty talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, who must be silenced because they are upsetting whole families, teaching things they should not teach for the sake of sordid gain. One of themselves, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. This testimony is true. For this cause, reprove them severely, that they may be sound in the faith, not paying attention to Jewish myths and commandments of men who turn away from the truth. To the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But both their mind and their conscience are defiled. They profess to know God, but by their deeds they deny him, being detestable and disobedient and worthless for any good deed. Amen. Let's pray before we begin. Father, we thank you for this morning. Pray that your presence will be with us, that you will speak to us. And as we pray and get into your presence, I pray that just your peace and your love would come into our hearts and help that we'll be ready for today, to live today for you. So we thank you, Lord, for this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I just want to look at Titus. For the next three times we're going to meet in the morning. There's three chapters in there. And before we begin on Titus, I want to give you a bit of an introduction, background information to Titus. Titus is written by Paul. Titus was one of the spiritual children that Paul had. And according to my Bible, the introduction here, it says Titus was probably a Gentile from Antioch that was converted into Christianity through Paul. So Paul was the one that led him to Jesus Christ. And I don't know if you guys remember, but in Acts, Paul actually goes to the Jerusalem Council to kind of talk about how the gospel should be preached to the Gentiles and how the Gentiles don't need to be circumcised and all that stuff. And Titus was actually with Paul when Paul went to the Jerusalem Council to kind of make his case. And in Galatians, it tells us that Paul was with Titus, and Paul says even Titus, who was a Gentile, did not get circumcised because, you know, if he got circumcised, that means all the other Greek believers had to be circumcised to stand before the council. So, I mean, I think Titus and Paul had a close relationship. They had a lot of history together. So there's a lot of, there's definitely a relationship between Paul and Titus. And In the book of Titus, what's happening is Paul and Titus travel together to Crete to preach the gospel. And when Paul had to leave, Paul decided to leave Titus in Crete so that he could lead the churches and appoint elders and leaders in the church. And so what is happening here is there was a lot of difficulty. You know, if you read through the book, you can see that Titus was going through some stuff, and some of the believers there were kind of rebellious and not really listening to Titus. So maybe Titus had written a letter to Paul, kind of reporting to him what was going on, or Paul somehow heard about what was going on. So Paul is responding to Titus and writing him a letter and telling him, you know, encouraging him and exhorting him to, you know, to be strong, to be to be authoritative and to appoint elders, and he's kind of writing a letter in response to Titus. So that's what's happening, and we see from the first chapter, first beginning of the chapter, this is how Paul usually starts most of his letters. He says in verse 1, he says, Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ for the faith of those chosen of God. And he goes into detail more about what kind of an apostle he is. He kind of describes it. But this is the way he always introduces himself. And it's quite a beautiful introduction. In all of his letters, he always says, Paul, a bondservant of God, you know, called to be an apostle. Or Paul, a bondservant of God, called to do this or called to do that. And it's, I don't know, it sounds very nice to me if you read it. It's a very good form of writing a letter. You know, be like, Nate, bondservant of God. You're called to be a youth pastor, worship pastor at Solomon's Porch, which started 7 years ago. Blah, blah, blah. You know, I'll be writing an email, and that's how I would introduce myself or whatever. You know, but I really love the way Paul writes his letters. But I just want to focus on that first part, Paul, a bondservant of God. Interesting idea that he is a bondservant of God. If you read Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, you don't have to turn there. Paul says, it was for freedom that Jesus set us free, so don't submit to a yoke of slavery again. So Paul knows, and he's saying that, you know what, we're free. In Jesus Christ, we are free. We're no longer slaves to the law. We're no longer a slave to God in the sense of, you know, the Jewish people living under the law, under the yoke of the law. So Paul knows that we're not slaves to God, you know. Throughout the Bible, you know, Jesus tells us, you know, you're not a slave, you're a son, you're a friend of God, and we know that, right? So it's kind of funny to think, what does that mean, you know, Paul, a bondservant of God? And I was thinking about that last night, and when he says, I'm a bondservant of God, it's a voluntary, out of love, he's putting himself in that position of a bondservant. Because, I mean, you know about Paul, right? You know how Jesus met him on the road to Damascus. And Paul was he was zealous for God, but he was so misdirected. So Jesus had mercy on him, and Jesus appeared to him and brought him to the right path. And I think Paul was so moved by that kind of love, and that kind of love for God and the love that God displayed to him, that he voluntarily said, you know what, I'm going to be a bondservant of God. My life is no longer about me, it's about God. But it wasn't, we have to remember, it wasn't this attitude of I need to earn this approval from God. I need to earn my salvation or whatever. It was more like, God loves me so much, I'm going to put myself in the position of a bondservant. I don't know about you, but I struggle with this. Maybe growing up in the church, growing up in an Asian society, I find it really difficult to see myself as a son sometimes to God. I'm always seeing myself as a bondservant, or as a slave, basically. And last night, I just came back from camp. I went to youth group camp. I went joined this camp called Gateway Camp, and it was a great time. Like over 1,000 people there, and we were there in packed schedule, and we were so busy, 5-6 days. And I come back from camp last night, and I'm kind of thinking about it, going through and praying, and the thoughts that I have is, did I do a good job? You know, like, God, am I good enough? Like, did I do enough? You know, did I do a good job? And I'm like, this negative thought of like, not good enough is always in me. I don't know where it comes from. I think I need Cascade. But this whole idea of being a slave and being a son, and I feel like I know in my head, I've heard that, and I've been taught, and I've probably taught this too, that I don't have to do anything to be loved by God, to be accepted by God. But it's a hard reality to really live under, I think, because we're so performance-oriented wherever we go. But Paul, you know, because if you read all of his writings, we know it's through Paul's writings that we understand that grace is free, that we don't have to do anything, that we're under freedom and not under a slavery kind of thing. So Paul knows that, but he voluntarily places himself under Jesus as a bondservant because he wants to live his life for God. And I kind of compare it to like a relationship between a boy and a girl. I'm sure you've heard this term, being whipped sometimes. Being whipped is when a guy just loves the girl so much that whatever the girl says, the guy is like, okay, I'll do it, you know? And he's willing to just submit himself to love and to be there for the girl. And us single people, because we're jealous, we say, oh, you're so whipped. But it's really out of jealousy. If we found somebody, we would be whipped as well. But that's kind of the idea. We do it out of love. We do it out of relationship. And it's not a thing of, I feel like I have to do it or she won't love me back kind of thing, right? It's the same idea with God. He will always love us, and I have to remember that, but I'm also placing myself in this position of a bondservant, but not out of this guilt-ridden and driven by this need to gain his approval, because that's already there. It's already there. He already sees me as successful, as lovely, as incredibly beautiful, and I just respond to that because of his love. So that's the first part. Paul knew that, and he called himself a bondservant of God. In all of his writings, he always says, I'm a bondservant of God. And he lived his life that way. And then he goes to verse 4, and he's telling to Titus, hey, so this letter is to Titus, my true child in a common faith, grace and peace from God the Father in Christ Jesus our Savior. So the first point is being a bondservant. Like, God has given us freedom, but what are we going to do with that freedom? You know, are we going to live give our lives to God, or are we going to just keep it to ourselves and do whatever we want to do? And the second point I want to make is here it says, Titus, my true child in a common faith. And what I want to talk about here is being a spiritual son and being a spiritual parent. And that was one of the things we talked about in Gateway Camp. The big thing was we need to work together amongst generations, you know. And what we've done in the church oftentimes is we separate the children and we separate the youth and then we separate the young adults and then we separate the old people. And we don't. There's not a lot of unity and not a lot of working together. But that's not how God wants us to work. And there was a great illustration that they gave at camp, so I'll just share it with you. They looked at an arrow. You guys know what an arrow looks like. So there's the shaft, and then there's the point, the arrowhead, and then there's the feathers, right? And all three things need to come together for the arrow to be effective. Without the head, it's not going to be powerful. Without the shaft, I mean, there is no arrow. Without the feathers, it's not going to fly. It's not going to go where you want it to go. And then the teaching that they gave was the children, the young people, the youth and the children is the arrowhead, and they're visionaries, and they think of new ideas, and they're always willing to do new things for God, and they want to do great and awesome things. They're filled with vision and dreams and passion, and it's the powerful arrowhead. It's sharp. But if they don't have the help of the other generations, they're not going to be very powerful. They're not going to be very effective. They're not going to go very far. And the shaft, the middle part, is the parent generation. Like, I guess it's like the 30s and the 40s, right? I'm beginning shaft. I'm no longer the arrowhead. I'm beginning shaft already. But that's our part, is to provide like resources and prayer support. Prayer support's more for the feathers, but resources and guidance and wisdom to lead the young people and to give them, to back them up basically, and to provide for them what they need so that they can go farther and do amazing things. And then we come to the feathers, and that's like the 60s, 70s grandpa generation, and they really provide prayer support and they provide wisdom. And you know, the example they gave was the young people, the arrow and the shaft, we'll stress out about things and we'll try to do something new for God, but we'll be like, I can't believe this is going wrong and this is going wrong and this is going wrong. We're stressing out, but we talk to the old generation and the 60s, 70s, they'll say, oh yeah, back in 1950, I did that too and it worked out. Don't worry about it. God's going to be with you. And they give them wisdom and just the sense of peace, knowing that they've been through all of it and God has been faithful, and they can provide that wisdom and that support and the prayer support. And it kind of works together to do the will of God. But what we're so used to, we're so used to being individualistic. You know, we're so used to kind of doing our own thing. What is God telling me to do? I'm just going to do it. And we've kind of lost this idea of spiritual sonship and spiritual parenthood. And I hope we can bring it back to our church. You know, for me, that has been a journey with, you know, our pastor, Pastor Sam. And, you know, I've been here 7 years and I'm working under him. He's like my spiritual father. But for me, it's been a journey to learn how to be a spiritual son. You know, and we talk about, you know, what does it mean to be a good son, good daughter? You know, am I submitted to the vision of my spiritual parent? Am I faithful to his vision? Because, you know, being a spiritual son means you're serving the vision and the dreams of somebody else and trusting that God's just going to be faithful with you. As you are faithful to that vision, God's going to take care of your own life. And you look at Titus. Titus just obeys Paul, right? Paul says, remain at Crete. And Titus says, okay. Paul says, come with me to Jerusalem for the council. Titus says, okay, I'm with you. And then Paul will say later on in this letter, says, come back from Crete. I want you to come and see me. And I'm pretty sure Titus left everything at Crete, took care of things, but he left Crete to see Paul. Right? And Titus is not sitting there thinking, no, what is my vision? What is God telling me to do? I want to do my own thing because God's got a great vision and purpose for my life. That's true, but I think sometimes in our generation, that's such a big focus. I don't know about you. For me, it has been. And the books that I read and the sermons I listen to is always about God's got an amazing plan, vision, dream for your life. So dream big and think of what you're passionate about and find out what you're made to do. And I think that's good, but I think sometimes we're too much on that part, and we're not really talking about serving the vision of somebody else that has been with you, you know, that has brought you up, that has taught you, and really being submitted to somebody else and being faithful where you have been planted, being faithful where God has called you to. And I think we need to start teaching that too, and that's something that I'm learning. And I read Titus and I think, wow, I'm so inspired. I'm like, wow, look at him. He's so willing to submit. He's so willing to just serve Paul. And I hope I can do that as a son to my spiritual father. And not always think about, what about me? You know, what's God going to do? What's God in store for me? But just trusting that, you know what? God's going to take care of me. And my joy, my dream, my fulfillment is not going to come through some career I have or some kind of work I do, some ministry I do. I mean, my fulfillment, my joy, my hope better be in Jesus Christ himself and the relationship I have with him. And it is, you know, that's where true hope is, that's where true joy, true fulfillment is found in me being in a relationship with God, abiding in Jesus Christ. So it doesn't matter what I do. The joy is there. And I just live my life submitted to God and submitted to my spiritual parent. So I want to, you know, encourage us. I mean, do you guys see yourself as a spiritual son and daughter to somebody that God has placed you, you know, in a relationship with? And if you feel like, you know, you're like, I don't have a spiritual father, spiritual mother, I pray for one. Pray for one and start acting like a son and a daughter. I think that's important, that we start knowing, you know, what does it mean to be a son and a daughter, and start being a son and a daughter to the people that God has placed you under or that God has connected you with, and also seek to be a spiritual parent, you know, with whoever that you're kind of a leader over. And I'm even thinking, like, even in your own house church, you could be a son and a daughter to your house church leader. I know the age gap is not really that great, but as your leader, we can serve the leader as spiritual sons and daughters, you know, and really seek to serve the vision of the house church leader and submit to them and be like Titus. I mean, Titus and Timothy, those guys are such good sons and sons to Paul, and we could learn from that. And also, you can seek to be a parent, you know. I mean, God's placed you in places of leadership and influence. And whoever that you are leading, don't just be a leader, but be a spiritual parent, you know? To really, I mean, look at Paul. He's so tender. He's so loving to Titus, and he's willing to spend time and invest time into relationship. I must say, I was at the camp listening to the message about this whole arrow and partnering together within generations. I was convicted of not being a good, very good spiritual parent, especially with the youth that I was with. And I realized, I'm beginning to see that I have a lot of fear of being intimate in relationship with my kids. I'm happy to get to know them and hang out with them, but I always keep them at a safe distance. I just realized over this camp, because I have to spend time with them, right? I'm at this camp, there were 6-7 kids, and we're there together all the time, and I'm finding myself wanting to keep myself at a distance, and I don't know why. Like, I don't know what is, something is there that makes me afraid of really opening myself up, being vulnerable to my kids. And I had to repent, you know, to myself, to the kids. And I don't really treat them with the honor and the dignity that that I need to if we want to work together as a generation. Instead, I'm just like, I'm the leader. Here's what we're going to do. You guys just submit and obey me, kind of thing. And they're youth, so it's easier to do that. But the main speaker was really encouraging us to change from our ways. I mean, the sons have to submit, but the fathers have to really honor and give respect and dignity to the kids, to the children. So I was being challenged. So, I mean, I encourage you, think about these things, spiritual fatherhood, spiritual motherhood, spiritual son and daughter, and how can we do that in our lives, and how can we do that in our church? And as we, I know most of us are in the same generation, but there's the children, there's the youth, you know, how can we work together? All that stuff, working together in different generations. And the third thing I want to talk about is just the rest of the chapter from verse 5. Paul is saying, hey, I need you to appoint elders. I need you to appoint leaders in your church. Because basically Paul is saying there's a lot of stuff going on in Crete. And a lot of rebellion, a lot of false teaching and false leaders. So what you need to do, Titus, is you need to appoint elders, leaders that are strong in the faith, that know what they're doing so that they can help lead the congregation so that they're not swayed, but they're remaining strong. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, Paul says to Timothy, he says, if anybody wants to be an elder, it's a good desire to have. It's a noble thing to desire, to be an elder. So what I want to encourage us today with the last part of this chapter is, it is a good thing for us to want to be a leader in the church. And I really think every believer should be a leader, you know? Even if you don't have an appointment as a leader in the church, like you're not called an elder, you're not called a house church leader, we need to start seeing ourselves. If you're not a baby Christian, I mean, even if you are a baby Christian, our goal should be if we want to get to a place where we can start leading. Because if you think about Crete, there's a lot of new believers, weak believers, and then there's a lot of false teachers. So the leaders need to rise up, take care of the weak believers. And as we look at our church is going to grow, right? We're going to move. And Pastor Dom was so good teaching about evangelism, going wide. And we need to do that. And I'm hoping and praying that our church will start evangelizing and start bringing in new believers, bringing in people that don't know Christ, that haven't been going to church, that we won't take people from other churches, but that we would bring people that don't know God into our church as we go out. So as we do that, obviously, the ones that are remaining at church, we need to start growing, and you need to start seeing yourself and positioning yourself as leaders, because if you guys don't step up, then the new people, the leaders that we have now won't be able to reach all the new people that will be coming in. So then all the regular people in the church need to start rising up to be leaders so that you guys can lead the new people that come up. And it's kind of the process, right? New people come in and we grow, and then we can start leading the people that are coming in fresh, you know, so to speak, in church. And Paul says it's a noble desire. It's a good desire to have, to be an elder. So, you know, it's not like you're going to be prideful or whatever, you know. It's good that you strive to be a leader and an elder in the church. And then it says, you know, Paul gives us some characteristics that's required of a leader in verse 7 and verse 8 and verse 9. And what I want to encourage us to today, tomorrow we're going to look more at the characters. In chapter 2, he talks about it too. But I just want to encourage us and challenge us today to start living and acting like a leader. You know, I mean, don't seek necessarily for recognition or appointment as a leader. You know, God, you know, Pastor Sam or whatever, the church may never appoint you as a house church leader or some kind of elder or whatever leader, but we need to start seeing ourselves and living and acting like a leader, you know, as somebody that is really committed to God, somebody that can handle the Word of God, and God will call you, give you a position if that's what He wants. But I mean, really, the position is not what we should be going after, but it's this attitude of, I want to help new believers. I want to help the weaker believers in whatever God's gifted me with. And yeah, make sure that they grow up in the faith properly. And as we do that, I think our church will grow. And it's a good desire to have. And I want to challenge us, every believer a leader. You know, every believer is a leader in the church and in the society to bring the love of Jesus to the world. So, yeah, three things from Titus chapter 1. So first thing is bondservant. Being a bondservant, do we have that kind of love relationship with God where we're not slaves, but we voluntarily place ourselves under the leadership of Christ where we can say, yeah, I'm a bondservant of God. Freely, willingly, voluntarily, I'm a bondservant. Second thing is being spiritual son, spiritual daughter, being a spiritual father and a mother, and what do you see yourself as? And pray to the Lord if you're seeking for a spiritual parent. Pray to the Lord, and if you, let's go to God about that idea. And the third thing is becoming a leader, becoming an elder, and God wants us to be leaders. So let's pray that we would be able to step up and step into the role as faithful servants. So, okay, three things, and Hannah's going to come and lead us in worship.
Treasure in this life.
Let's pray together. Let's just in response to the message, let's meditate on the love of God. I like the second verse here. Jesus, He's so pure and He's so kind. Let's meditate upon His kindness and His tenderness towards us, so that we may respond to Him out of love and out of this relationship, out of our freedom, that we respond to Him and say, Lord Jesus, I want to be Your bondservant. I want to live my life for You, but out of love and not out of fear, not out of guilt. So let's just meditate upon that, His kindness, His tenderness, and let's go before the Lord in that sense. Let's pray for our mission focus. Let's pray for Kenny Ye in Nagoya, Japan. And Pastor Sophia is also in Japan right now, preparing, doing her own missions, but also preparing for the mission team that will be going to Japan. So let's pray for Pastor Sophia and our Japan mission team. Let's pray for Thailand and Rachel Worlick, who is working in Thailand as a YWAMer. And also there is a Thailand team that's going to go from SP in a few weeks. Let's pray for that. Pray for North Korea. Pray for the persecuted churches there. Let's pray for Chris Kim, who is our contact there. And pray for the North Korea team that will be going there in August. So let's pray for that. So let's pray for our mission focus. Let's pray for our SP ministries. This is the children and the youth. Let's pray for Noah's Ark and SP youth. And also the campus ministry that Pastor Sophia is part of at Hong Kong U. Let's pray that our children and youth would really grow in the Lord. That even at a young age, they would really meet with God and have a personal and very real relationship with Him. And let's also pray that as a church SP, that we would also be able to work together with different generations, coming together and really doing the work of God. Don't know what that's going to look like, but let's pray that God would bring the generations together in our church. Let's pray for our move, SP 1.5. Let's pray for God's help, especially for the steering committee. And you can pray for myself and Kenny. We have to do all the the audio video stuff, and all those things need to come together fairly quickly. So please pray for us, pray for all the whole steering committee that are in charge of different things, and let's pray that we the whole process will be pleasing to God, that we would always rely on Him, and that He'll just lead us in this process. So let's pray together. Father God, thank you, Lord, for giving us this time. Thank you for your word. And I pray that you would just encourage us today with your love, with your presence, with your joy. And we want to live to glorify you today. So, Holy Spirit, you know, I thank you for your presence. Would let your presence increase, God, in our hearts. We thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day today.